Thank you, Sam, and thank all of you for being here this morning. You know, the heart is a wonderful thing. When we were born into this world, God gave each of us a heart. Your heart beats thousands of times every day, every day. And someday your heart will cease to be, and you will be brought into the presence of a living, loving, and eternal God. Your heart. Have you ever stopped to think about what all the Bible says about the heart? I know one thing that it says, for in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that we are to keep the heart with all diligence. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keeping the heart. You know, we take care of a lot of things in this life, but oftentimes we fail to take care of the heart, physically and spiritually. Now, it bothers me sometimes when people really do not take care of their physical heart. And we hear much today, and there are more people that die because of heart problems than any other health-related matter. Heart problems, heart disease. But the real problem sometimes in our world today is not the physical heart problem, but the spiritual heart. The Bible in the book of Romans in chapter 6 tells us that we obey God from the heart. And we obey that form of doctrine that has been delivered unto us, the heart. Why do we keep our hearts? Well, we want to protect our minds. You know, the mind itself is a beautiful thing. It is. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that we have to protect our minds? We have to protect our minds from evil thoughts, just as we have to protect our heart. We have to protect our mind from things entering in and destroying us in a very spiritual way. For what we allow into our mind is that which we will eventually become. I really believe that's why God says when a person repents of his sin, that it really begins in the mind. It is the Greek word metanoia. And it means that there must be a change in the mind. There must be a change in the heart. There must be a change in a relationship and a change in our life. And so we have to protect our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 says, so is he. You see, you are the product of your own thoughts. What you think about is what you become. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, Jesus said. So he says that our mind is a very complicated thing. Have you ever thought about your mind, really? We're to protect our mind. But did you know that every day you have 100 trillion thoughts that penetrate your mind? Every day. Have you really stopped to think about what you think about? Or have you ever stopped to consider your thoughts? We hear a lot today about mind control. And there are a lot of people in the world who want to take charge of your mind. You know, the devil would like to take charge of your mind and my mind. Because if he can get our mind, he can get our life. If the devil can take control of your mind, he has you. And that's the way he deals with humankind. But the Bible says, when we talk about mind control, that we are to bring every thought of our mind into captivity. Every thought. Sometimes people say, well, is it really possible for me to have control over my mind? Is it really conceivable that I can bring every thought into captivity? We are to bring it into captivity unto Christ. Unto Jesus, every thought. For 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That is, we ought to think every day about what we do. Is it pleasing to God? Is it right with our Lord? is it? Well, sometimes we fail to realize that the mind is complex, and there are four critical areas of concern for you this morning and for me. Four critical areas of concern. Well, let's talk about them this morning. Do you realize that we must focus on these areas of concern if we are to please God? You and I. Sometimes we never give a lot of thought to the mind and what we really ought to be thinking on and where our focus ought to be. But our focus ought to be on these areas of concern if God in heaven is really going to be honored and He is going to be pleased. Well, let's talk about those areas. Number one, there is what we call false doctrine. Do you know that many people are being led astray today by false doctrine? There are many perpetrators out in our world who are teaching things that are contradictory to the law of Christ. Jesus said, beware of them in Matthew 23. He said, beware of false prophets who go out into the world. And Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men and not the doctrine of God. Matthew 15 and verse 8. And so we have to exercise caution with false doctrine. We have to get rid of it out of our lives. We cannot allow it to penetrate our heart. It must go. But then there's, what are some of the areas of false doctrine? Well, let's think about them. One of them is the doctrine of once saved, always saved. There are a lot of people who believe in that concept today, that once you ever became a child of God, that you're always going to be in a safe relationship with God. Now, we know that's not true. For the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, it is better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. But a lot of people believe in the concept of once saved, always saved. You ever thought about all the passages of Scripture that teach us that we are to take heed unto ourselves, lest we fall? But then there is the doctrine that there is no assurance of salvation, or that salvation is by faith alone, or that it is by works. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints of God. A lot of false doctrine. But then there's another area, and that is that of temptation. You know, we're all tempted every day. Every day of our lives, you're tempted. When you get out of bed in the morning, you are going to be tempted. I will be tempted every day. We are always tempted to do wrong. It is there. But we have to get rid of the temptation. Temptation, it comes to us guised in many different ways. Sometimes it comes with regard to food and to alcohol and even to drugs. I know a lot of people never think about food being a temptation. Maybe you do. I don't know. Sometimes it's a temptation when you are on a diet. And you don't want to eat. I heard a story the other day at a dinner party in the home of friends. Host mentioned his high school alma mater. One of his guests asked him if he'd been the student there at the same time in a particular vice principal, or if he knew a particular vice principal. And sometimes we really kind of stick our foot in our mouth when we shouldn't. He said, I sure was. He said, he was the biggest jerk I ever met. Did you know him too? He said, well, not then, replied the guest. But my mother married him last Saturday. We all are tempted sometimes to say things we ought not to say. We are tempted to eat the wrong things. Sometimes people are tempted by alcohol. They're tempted by fun and perhaps some of the entertainment of the world. Temptation. The Bible in the book of Romans, the 13th chapter in verse 14, says that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to obey it in the lust thereof. Did you know the Scripture also teaches in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You and I can escape that temptation if we so desire. I believe that when that devil confronts us every day to do wrong, we must say, as Peter said to Satan, "Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me." We cannot allow the temptations of the world to destroy us in our relationship to God. But then there's another area of critical concern, and that is pride itself. Do you know that there are a lot of people that are filled with pride? Pride can be destructive. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to be proud of your accomplishments or for you perhaps to have a measure of pride. But sometimes people are too proud. And sometimes people think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. And the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says that a man's not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. With regard to pride, sometimes people are proud of their physical beauty. Sometimes people talk about how beautiful they are, how handsome they are. And they take pride in that, and they're more concerned about the outward adorning of the body than they are the inward man. Paul says that the outward man is wasting away every day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. Beauty will eventually fade, but the beauty of the heart will not fade. Sometimes people take pride in their success. Sometimes they want you to look at them and say, "Oh, look at how successful I am." But you know what my real question is how successful are you with God? For in the book of Matthew 16, Jesus said, "What is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul?" What if you've been a success out in the world, but you've been a failure with God? The man of Luke chapter 12 was a successful man, but God called him a fool because he had no relationship with God at all. He said, "I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. Thereby I will bestow all of my goods." Yes, success had shined upon him, but not a relationship with God that was lasting and eternal. Sometimes people in their pride, they take pride in their position and in their authority. They often talk about who they are and how much authority they have and their position in life. Let me tell you something, there is no greater position in all the world than to be a Christian and to be a child of God and to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. But yet sometimes people glory in their authority and in their position and in their power earthly instead of glorying in the power of Almighty God. But then when we talk about pride, then obviously are those who have an abundant measure of self-esteem. Again, I'm not saying it's wrong to have self-esteem. A lot of books have been written about self-esteem, and a lot of people have low self-esteem. I think it's important for people to have self-esteem. But there again, in measure. Did you know that the Bible says, lest being filled with pride, that you and I can fall into the condemnation of the devil? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. And it does happen every day. And then we read in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It happens. People fall in their pride. It happens every day. People are destroyed. People collapse. I don't care who you are, when we feel too proud. And that's why you have to guard your mind and keep your heart with all diligence, lest these things like pride and temptation destroy you and the false doctrine that's being perpetrated out in the world about such. But then that brings me to the last one, and that is stress. Stress is a horrible thing. But what causes stress? If I were to ask you this morning, are you under stress or are you under duress? Or do you ever encounter stress? I could dare say that everyone in this audience this morning would say, yes, there are times when I am so stressed. I don't care who you are. There are times when we all get stressed out about a lot of things. I get stressed out sometimes about appointments, trying to measure up and always keep appointments because I know that my schedule is tight and yet I've got this to do and I've got that to do, and it becomes extremely stressful at times. And I know that stressfulness can destroy us. And again, have you ever stopped to think about all the people who die with heart attacks because of stress? Stress-related illnesses. Stress can cause heart problems. It can cause cancer. It can cause a number of maladies every day. Well, what causes stress? Sometimes fear causes stress. We get fearful about a lot of things in life. Maybe we're afraid, perhaps, to launch out and do what we need to do, and so it stresses us out. We become so fearful in life. We're fearful of the future. And we even worry about the past. And we're anxious about all these things. Sometimes it is obsession. Do you know that sometimes people can become obsessed with things and it causes stress? Now, I've seen people, and you know, I appreciate people that keep a clean house. But I have been around people sometimes who are so obsessed by keeping that house so clean and so immaculate, we want it to look like good housekeeping. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have homes that look like good housekeeping this morning? Jim Reichard raised his hand back there. Thank you, Jim. I saw that. But sometimes we can become so obsessed with cleanliness. And we do. That's a horrible, terrible disorder, isn't it? An obsessive, compulsive disorder. And it causes stress. I've been around people, sometimes there might just be a little speck on the carpet and they've got to get that up. I mean, it just really stresses them out. And they're so obsessed by it. Obsession can destroy you. It can cause stress. But then there's another, and that is anxiety. You ever get anxious about things in life? You know, Jesus said about Martha that she was careful and troubled. What he really meant is that she was anxious about a lot of things that she didn't need to be so anxious about. There's another that's closely akin to it, and that is worry. People worry about a lot of things. They worry about things that have happened in the past, that they're powerless to change. They worry about the future. They worry about the here and now, what's going on right now. We worry about it all the time. Paul says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And get rid of the worry. Be anxious in nothing. But we worry and we fret all the time about a lot of things. Do you know that worry can send you to an early grave? It can. And that's the reason that we have to keep our heart in our mind. I'm convinced of that. The Bible in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, to set your affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. The reason we get so stressed out is our mind is on the things of this earth instead of our affections being on the things that are above. Stop, think about that. How many times a day do you think about things that are above? That is heaven and going there. How often do you think about God and things that are spiritual? Or do you more than anything else dwell upon the things of this earth? Is that what you really think about? How often do you really think about God? Stress. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's talk about that just a minute. What does that really mean? Well, it means that we have to get rid of all these things. We have to get rid of the false doctrine. We have to get rid of the temptation. We have to get rid of the pride. We have to get rid of the stress and focus our mind solely upon the Word of God. And don't be conformed to the world. Don't live like the world. Don't become like the world. But bring every thought into the captivity and the obedience of Christ our Lord. Now that's what God says. And we must understand that. All of those have to go. And then finally, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely or those that are of good report and virtue and praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, sometimes in life we just go through life meditating on all the bad things that are going on in the world. We do. We watch the news and we hear all these bad things that are going on in the world. And that's all that we dwell on. We don't think about the positive, good things that are going on with our brethren and in the Lord's church and in the world in which we live. We must redirect our mind at times. Do you know that becoming a Christian and having the mind of Jesus is no puzzle? Now, a lot of people find that puzzling. A lot of people say, well, you know, this is all just a big puzzle to me, this plan of salvation and God dealing with me. It's not a puzzle. It's not. As a matter of fact, the pieces come together very easily when we understand and we follow God's plan. It is when we are not following His plan that it becomes very complex and very difficult for us to understand. And I guess the real question this morning is, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Have you ever thought about that? You may say, oh yeah, I'm a child of God. Are you really a child of God? Are you? Have you become a Christian? Have you been born of the water and of the Spirit? John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. In that book of John chapter 3, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and inquired about His Lordship. And He said, we know that You're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the things that Thou doest except God be with him. And He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, how can I do it? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And He said, no, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, one of the questions I think that Jesus would ask us this morning is, would you give your mind and your heart to Jesus? Do you know becoming a Christian and being born again is something that we do of choice? God doesn't force anyone to obey Him. He doesn't force me. He didn't force me when I was a young man of 13 years of age to step out and give my hand to the preacher and my heart and my mind to God. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I believed that it was something that I should do. And I wanted to honor God and I wanted to please Him. And that's why I believed with all of my heart that He was the Son of God. For the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. And that's why I stood in front of an audience like this one and confessed with my lips the Lord Jesus. For the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10 says that we are to understand, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it's that same confession that Christ asked us to make in Matthew 10. If we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father who is in heaven. And I repented of my sins. I didn't have to be coerced into doing that. It was a choice that I made because I wanted to go to heaven. And I understood what Christ meant and what the Apostle Peter meant in the book of Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 when he said, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And then I surrendered my body to be baptized with Christ for the remission of sins, just as those on the day of Pentecost did in Acts 2 and verse 38, when they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin." What goes into my mind is a choice that I make. And what goes into my spiritual heart is something that gets there by my choice and no other way. Maybe this morning you need to take that step. You need to obey the gospel and be born again. Or perhaps, just maybe, you need the prayers of the church. You need the prayers for spiritual strength. Or perhaps maybe even to confess sin. For 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, how we need God. And you know what? Jesus is awaiting your response right now as I speak. The closing verses of the Bible in Revelation 22 and verse 17 is not there by accident. The Word of God says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And take of the fountain of the water of life freely." And you know what? It's a choice that all of us make. And it is a choice that God is asking you to make this morning. What about your spiritual heart? Your physical heart may be pumping blood through your body and you may be doing well. But what about your spiritual heart? Does it need some attention? As a Christian, sometimes it does. But you know what? Sometimes we need a heart transplant. And that's what happens when we obey the gospel. God puts a new heart in us. And that's really what David asked for, wasn't it, in Psalms 51? When he said, "Create within me a new heart, O God." Maybe you need a new heart this morning. If you'd like to obey the Lord and become His child in baptism this morning, then God certainly desires that. And the real issue is this morning, do you desire it? Are you ready to take that step? And as a child of God, if you feel that perhaps maybe your spiritual heart needs attention this morning, I hope that you'll step out and give your hand to me and again give your heart to God while we stand and while we sing.
There's a fountain free to